Am I live or am I Memorex? Yes. Or? Okay, you hear? Okay. Well, just a moment, I got to grab my tablet, my fancy tablet. I don't have a fancy tablet like Pastor. Well, I do, actually, home, but I hate the thing, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it's useful. I find some useful things for it, but something happens there, and I can't get myself out. It's like, what the heck is this stupid thing doing? And I'm there, and so I'm not going to bring it here and try to put a message on it, because I'm going to be up here, and I'm going to be using it, and then I'm going to hit something, and then I'm not going to get my way back to it. I'm just not that tech savvy. So we're going to start tonight in Hebrews. We'll be spending quite a bit of time in Hebrews, actually. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, you know, when he announced that I was going to be preaching tonight, a few of you clapped, and I know why you clapped, because if you've heard me preach before, you know I don't preach real long. So it may be. I know you. Hebrews 10, 23. Says, let us hold fast to the, this is King James, and I don't apologize about King James, sorry. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, or say confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, I've heard many messages about this particular scripture. And it's been referred to many times, especially when it comes to faith. You're going to have a message about, you know, let's hold fast, let's say the same thing, let's say the same thing God says. And he is faithful, he's faithful to his word. And I agree with that 100%. However, they really take this verse out of context. Not saying that it's the message, what they're saying is wrong, because, you know, we know there in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1, says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And we can go to many, many scriptures in the Bible here and establish those two or three witnesses, which we're going to do here in just a moment too. But for tonight's sake, and what I want to get across to you, I want to read back here and read this in the context that it's put in. If you go back some verses here in chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 14. There's one thing that sticks out this particular verse that I want you to get a hold of tonight. But start here in chapter verse 14. It says, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, congratulations, everybody. You did not forsake the assembling of yourselves tonight. You came to church. And we're here to exhort one another. And tonight, my reason is to exhort to you that God is faithful. in context, it's talking about God was faithful to bring us a Savior in Jesus. That he had promised a Savior, that there is no need for any more sacrifices. He was the one and last sacrifice. He is now the high priest and sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's what they're talking about. He's faithful to his promises. What I want to get across to you tonight, that God is faithful. So many times in this, our faith camp, we're trying to use our faith, and we're having more faith in our faith than we are in a person. You've heard pastors say it many times. We have faith in a person. Now, to go on with this, as I mentioned, out of two or three witnesses, let it be examined. So Mark 11, 22. And I'm just saying this to show you this, because we can get stuck on a formula. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now this just goes along with that. Hold fast to your confession. You can say to this mountain, speak to this mountain. But in verse 22 it says, have faith in God, and you're going to hear lots of people say, or have the God kind of faith, which is perfectly so. We can say, because God spoke, and it was. But I've looked up like 12 different translations, and every one of them says, have faith in God, instead of have the God kind of faith. And the point I'm trying to get across to you is I know so many people can get stuck in a formula and say, okay, I'm going to have the God kind of faith. I'm just going to speak to my mountain, and it's going to be removed. Well, yeah, you can speak to your mountain, and you can remove your mountain. But what happens while you're speaking to that mountain, the things aren't happening? Well, so many people start blaming God. Well, God's not faithful. This isn't true. Well, in order to have great faith, in order to have faith, real faith, you got to get it in your heart, in your mind, right down in your spirit, know that God is faithful. Because while you're speaking to your mountain, guess what? Things are going to come your way. It's kind of like what Pastor said last week, if he was here, talking about in the garden with Genesis. Snakes coming. Snakes are coming. Devil's going to come, and he's going to be in the form of maybe your best friend or your friends or maybe your parents or, your neighbor. Or you're going to say, well, that faith stuff, doesn't work, Because you're trying to make a formula out of it. You got to know that God is faithful. So have your faith in a person, have your faith in God. Because too many people are just trying to have faith in their own faith. And that's, you're turning it into works. I like the people of old. I mean, we're faith people. I mean, how can you not have faith in God? We have this whole Bible here with examples of how God was faithful. But, I love those people, the old patriarchs. They didn't have all this to go by. Let's just go see a couple of examples. Just in Matthew, when Jesus was here on earth, Matthew chapter 8, now don't get me wrong, don't send hate mail to all the people, faith people. I definitely believe in the power of your words. And I say you got to speak your. I mean, that was the first thing I got a hold of when I started to go into a church with faith or whatever you want to call us. But I got a hold of the power of your words. And as a matter of fact, the very first time I ever preached, and that was long before I even went to Bible college, my very first time the pastor of the church I was going to have me preach, it was on the power of your words. So I'm not denying that whatsoever. I mean, I spoke the word. When I learned the power of your words, I thought, that's why I still have hair. Because I spoke that from 40-some years ago, that I'm not going to lose my hair. If you've seen people in my family, you know that I got some hair, because there ain't nobody, other guys in my family, that's got that kind of hair. So I know it's a, I really believe it's a spiritual thing. All right, where was I? Okay, Matthew 8. The centurion, for instance. Matthew 8. Let's take it up. A certain centurion came to Jesus, saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He just believed Jesus at his word, that all he had to do was say he's healed and he's going to be healed. He didn't have to go come up with so many formula. He just knew God, that if he said he's healed, he's healed. And as we see here, same hour there in verse 13, "Go the way as you believe, so be it done unto you." And then over in chapter 9, verse 28, 27. "When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came unto the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe you that I'm able to do this?" It was a pretty simple question. And they gave him a really simple answer. They said unto him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were open. They just believed. They didn't read a bunch of books on faith. They didn't have what we have now, hundreds and hundreds of books on faith. They just believe God was able and that he would do what he says he would do. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. We're going to talk about some more amazing people that had even less, way before Jesus even came here, way before the promise was here. But let's look at verse 6 first in chapter 11. "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You just got to believe that God is who he says he is. He's going to do what he says he is. And when you believe and have faith that he in him, you're going to reap some rewards. Now it goes on, Noah, for example. He's telling Noah to build this ark that there's a flood coming. Seems pretty crazy. He's out in the middle of the desert, hasn't rained. Don't you think Noah probably had some naysayers and coming to him and think he's half nuts crazy? And it's kind of like, you've seen the movie probably. What is that, Steve Carroll? I don't know. I mean, a lot of people thought he was cuckoo, right? Okay. But yeah, Noah. He just believed God and obeyed God and did what he said. Didn't have all those things to go by other than the Word of God. And there's this whole chapter 11, it's like the heroes of faith. It goes on, talks about many, many people giving examples of faith. But there's one here that when I always read this, kind of stuck out to me and maybe even sticks out to me a little bit more, being a little bit older. But in verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Stop there. We're going to take a look at the scenario here. We go back to Genesis. We're back to Genesis chapter 17. Verse 15. God said unto Abram, as for Sarai thy wife, you shall now call her name, not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Verse, just go to chapter 18. Verse 9. So here's two old people. gonna bear a child. I mean, guess what, you know, ladies, there's a time, it's coming. Whether you, she looked horrified. She gave me a look. They say like 45 to all the way up to maybe 65. There's a little thing called menopause. And guess what? You're not going to be able to bear kids anymore. But here's a guy that's 100 years old. This lady, she's 90 years old. It just doesn't happen. Now, if the Lord just came to me and my wife and said we was going to bear kids, it's like, that's not possible. Thank God that's not possible. I don't want to do the whole diaper thing or anything. That's no way. I don't even like to clean up after a dog. I don't even own a dog. So 18:9. They said unto him, where is Sarah your wife? And he's now there's a couple of angels come here and visit here. It's this tent here that they're in. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto the according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah the wife shall have a son. Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. That's what we talked about. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid. And he said, oh no, but you did laugh. So even to Sarah and them, they thought, this is impossible. This isn't even laughing, joked up about it. It's like, how in the world are we going to have kids at this age? Verse 21. Well, did this really come to pass? Well, of course, we all know, but verse 21, so the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Let's go back there to Hebrews 11. verse 11. So here they are, two old people, way above childbearing ages, well far behind, past it. God tells them she's going to conceive. First thing, they both laughed at this, that the notion, that the idea that this could even happen. But obviously something happened in between. In verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because. It's always good to see the because. And I also like the but God. It's always good when you got your butt in the right place. But God, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She knew he was a faithful God. She knew that he was faithful to his word. It didn't matter if it was looked totally impossible, but with God, all things are possible. She judged him faithful. She knew that if he said it, it was going to happen. I mean, she may have got tired of Abraham coming into the tent and say, hey, you know, we got to get going here because God said. But she got strength to say, okay, God said it, it's going to happen. And it did. We sometimes just get too caught up in, you know, man, this just looks like too much. But I'm telling you, if you know God's faithful, and he gives you a word, you can stand on that word, and he's going to come through. Stay in Hebrews here. One more example in Hebrews. Well, we're talking about Sarah and Abraham. Let's go over here to verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Okay, here's this baby. They got Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So the story here is, you know, God told Abraham to go up and sacrifice Isaac, his only son, his son. And Abraham was very willing. He was ready to sacrifice him. And then we know the story. There was a ram in the thicket there for him, sacrifice. But he had faith. He believed God's word that he told him clear back before that his seed was in Isaac. Well, how could that be if he's going to sacrifice his son, if he's going to kill his son? But he believed, even though if he did that, God would raise him from the dead. That's having faith in God, isn't it? I mean, you don't want to sacrifice this beautiful little girl here, do you? No. And don't ever think God tells you to do that. He's not going to tell you to do that, okay? Just so we're clear. Okay. This is also a typology, so yeah. Okay, we're so good there, okay. But it's amazing, people, you know, these people, the patriarchs, how much faith they had in God's faithfulness. This can blow your mind sometimes. I mean, Abraham, at least, he knew God was faithful because here they had Isaac in the first place, well beyond their age. And that's one thing you can stand on. When God's been faithful to you in the past, you know he's going to be faithful to you again. I mean, you know, when I was called to go down and to go to Rainbow Bible College, I mean, that was a big thing for me to grasp hold of, but I had a word from the Lord to do that. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that's what he wanted me to do. You know, we got God's written word here, and we can always bank on God's written word. If it's said it, you can count on it. And then we have his rhema word, his spoken word, and we've talked about that before. If God spoke to you and told you to do something, you can. He's just as faithful to that. And you hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, when he did that for me, I mean, there was no doubt in my mind. I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. Well, snake's coming. Boy, I had all kinds of people tell me, you're nuts, man. It's like here I was at a job, you know, I'd been there for 10 years and I was doing just fine. I mean, matter of fact, you know, my home was furnished by my employer. I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't pay for utilities. Man, all money, I got salaried, all my money, I could just spend it on whatever the heck I wanted to spend it on. You know, a Harley, new truck, and all this, you know. And what, 5, 6 kids, you know. So, you go down, you know, you take this leap of faith, and people really think I'm nuts because when I gave my, applied for acceptance, I put in my resignation at work, and I didn't have an acceptance letter on my last day of work. And I, you know, people at work say, really? You don't even know if you're going. I said, no, I know I'm going. God sent me. I'm going. Well, you know, I worked my last day, and, you know, it's and, you know, acceptance letter came the day after. So, and, you know, you think, oh, God, you know, I think, oh, gosh, Gary, that took a lot of faith. That was great faith, you know. Well, yeah, I knew I stood on the word he gave me, I'm going. But, you know, I'm going down there, and like I say, I didn't have a mortgage or anything like that, but I had a truck payment, I had a Harley payment, I had some other things. So I'm going down there, we're backing up, we're moving. I don't have a job to go to, but I need a job because, you know, I got some payments to pay on and stuff. But still went. And, well, don't need to go in that whole story, everything that happened, but the fact of the matter is, guess what? Sometimes you're going to step out in faith, and you're going to make some mistakes, and you may not realize it later. I mean, like I say, you might think, oh, that was a great faith, and that, and after I, you know, go down there and get through all that, I think, man, you know, I really wasn't that much in faith. I mean, I was trying to help God out because, you know, I couldn't figure out how am I going to afford to do this and that. So, you know, I sold my Harley. And silly me, I thought, well, you know, this is a great thing of faith. I mean, I'm showing God that, man, I'm giving up my love. I'm giving up my Harley, which unfortunately was my God for a while. Well, backslidden. It was a dang good thing I got rid of that thing. But I thought, you know, gosh, I'm going to get rid of that. So, you know, and I'm going to go down to Bible college, and I'm going to think, well, God's going to reward me. You know, I get done, I'm going to have another Harley. Someone's going to give me one or something. It's going to be paid for. I'm going to have a Harley, you know, so blah, blah. There's still not a Harley in my garage. That's been almost 20 years. But I think back there, I think, well, did I really have to do all that? Did I have to get in? I did some other financial things to try to make things work out. And I think, well, was I really in faith? He told me to go, and he was going to provide. Well, fortunately, he did provide. I went down there. I got a job. Matter of fact, the job came to my doorstep. Literally. The guy came to my doorstep, and I got a job. Some of you, do you want to hear that story or not? I mean, literally, we go into our apartment that we rented, and there's water on the floor, and that. And so the people at the apartment called somebody, and this guy was the owner of a carpet cleaning business and restoration and so forth. And we got to talking, and he offered me a job, and that's where I went to work for. And actually, my wife went to work for him, too. She took care of their home and stuff. But he was such a huge blessing to us while he was down there. So God is faithful. And just like Abraham, you know, when God's been faithful to you like that in the past, you can count on him to be faithful again. Not only that, we had Deb's tuition paid for one time, the second year. We were down there, we don't have the money. We just don't have the money for her to go. So we decided, well, I'll continue and go my second year, and she wasn't going to go. That kind of goes back to your standing and speaking the word, because I went over to the NRC and we're handing out books to the new students for the next year. And I'm over there, you know, helping out doing that. And we get done. And Deb, when I go back to the apartment, she's already left to work. And I get in my prayer closet. And literally, it's a little walk-in prayer closet. I get in there. And boy, I have it out with Lord. I start speaking. Lord, you sent us here. You said. And I reminded him. It says, bring me in remembrance of my word. There's a scripture there. And I reminded him what he had said. And this. And I just went at it. It's like, you know, I believe you are a provider. You're going to provide. And, well, anyway, I had it out with him there for quite a while before I took off and went to work. Well, I get to work. And I was not there at work very long. I get a call from the administration building there at Rhema. Said, hey, does Deb, she still want to come to school her second year? I was like, yeah, absolutely. Says, well, someone just paid her tuition in full. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. And then you fast forward, you know, I could use so many examples of how God's been faithful. But, you know, later on, years to go here, and people gets all excited or gets down in the dumps if something really tragic happens. Well, you know, I'm working at a place for 20-some years, minus the time I went to school and that, and I lose my job. They shut the place down. Oh, my goodness, what are you going to do? I have a house, you know, not like before, the job. I had a house in Ames. So I had a mortgage. And probably I had a car payment, I'm sure, so forth. Well, I know that God is faithful. He's going to take care of me. I've been faithful to him. He's going to be faithful to me. And that's something I tell you what, people. You hear me up here every week. I'm telling you. If you're a tither, God will bless you. That's not about promise, but I tell you what, he always comes through for me. So, don't have jobs, so think, okay, well, I mean, I didn't just end that day. I knew I had a month or so, a month and a half, whatever it was, before they shut, you know, completely down. So here we are living in Ames. We're driving back and forth to church, you know, twice a week back then. And we've been wanting to move to Ankeny for quite some time. And so I said, well, it's time to move. So we go out and we put our house up for sale, buy a house here in Ankeny, twice as big as the house in Ames, lot bigger mortgage, twice the lot. I don't have a job. But you know what I do have? Peace. I had peace about it. God is faithful. That's right. I think it was like a month or so after I did move up here that I didn't have a job. But he still provided. Yep. And now I have a job making more money than I've ever made in my life. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. That's the best thing I ever did, lose that job. So if you haven't figured out what I want to get across to you tonight, you don't have to have this big formula for your faith. Yes, you do need to, you know, there's things we need to know about our faith and how to speak the word and act on his word. But the bottom line is, you got to trust him. You got to know that he is faithful to his word. I mean, it's hard sometimes because we live in this world and we got people that's hurt us and haven't came through for us or lied to us. And it may be someone really close to you that's been unfaithful. I mean, I know even your spouse. I mean, if there's anybody's been divorced in here. And, you know, I have a hard time thinking, well, this person was really close to me. They were unfaithful. Well, I know what that's like, too. I myself, when I was young, I was divorced, too. Believe me, I did not have a faithful wife. But God is faithful. And I'm going to give you some scriptures here. We're not going to turn there. But I want you can write these down, talking about God's faithfulness. And when you're standing on your faith, you're speaking to your mountains, you can look at some of these scriptures. If things start to, you feel like you're wavering, it's just said, and you're not holding fast to that confession of your faith, but you start wavering, write down some of these scriptures here I'm going to give you that are good and just talks about God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I think that's one thing that's kind of the enemy to our faith. We mess up and we think, well, I blew it now. God's not going to come through for me. But no, if you confess it, if you go to him and say, hey, you know, I messed up, I'm sorry, I did this, says that he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Sometimes you might have some pressure. You think, man, am I going to come through this? But no, he's not going to put nothing on your plate that you can't handle. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. 2 Timothy 2:13, this is out of the NIV, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. King James Version of that says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. Don't matter whether you believe he's faithful or not. He is. You better start believing it, because he is. Jeremiah 1:12, and the Amplified says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it.'" So if you have a word from the God, whether it's a written word right here, there's a promise in here for you. You can stand on it and you can know that he's going to be faithful to perform it. Or if you get a rhema word from him, spoken word, and the Holy Ghost tells you, and you know that it's it. You know, there's one thing about that too. And it's okay, you know, if you hear something from the Lord to check with, you know, your pastor or someone and say, "Hey, you know, what do you think about this? I mean, I think the Lord's telling me this," but, you know, if you're said dead set on, you know the Lord said it, well, I'm sure pastor's not going to go against what the Lord said, but we can give you some direction, think, give our thoughts on it, because, you know, when I heard, you know, when I got to, you know, the Lord came to me, and I had that visitation or whatever, and it called me to the ministry. Well, I knew, but I thought, well, I did run it by my pastor, you know. I said, "Oh, man, what do you think about that?" And I told him all about my experience. He goes, "Oh, yeah, so I knew you were called. So sounds right to me." And then I even called my old pastor up and down to Missouri and had a little talk with him too. So it's all right. But when you know that you know, and you know that you know, you can act on it. And God's going to be faithful. Amen. Well, I don't know how long that is. I have no idea what time it is. I just get up here and ramble. But like I said, it usually doesn't last too long. But, man, I tell you what, guys. We're all in different stages of our faith walk. Sure, some of this is new to you. Some of it's been in for a while. But, you know, don't get caught up trying to make things work with your faith. I mean, don't have faith just in your faith. You got to have a faith in the person. You got to have faith in Jesus. You got to have faith in God, the faith in the Holy Spirit. Because that's what's going to get you through. That if you settle it in your heart that God is faithful, that he's a man of his word, that he's going to watch over that word to perform it, that's what's going to get you to stand. And you will have obstacles in your way, but keep standing on his faithfulness. And like I said, you may make mistakes. You may just go off and, you know, something just didn't work out completely. And unfortunately, I've seen too many people just give up on God because one thing didn't work out. And they think, well, God's not faithful. This doesn't work. And unfortunately, I know some people that's like that are way off the other direction. And it's just really sad. Because maybe just one little thing happened. But hey, I've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. You will make some mistakes. But just keep trusting him. Just keep having faith in God. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for this time that we had this evening. And I'm so thankful that you are a faithful God. You're not a man that you would lie to us, but you are faithful, you are trustworthy. You watch over your word to perform it, and I just ask, Lord, that you are faithful to each and every one of us in this room, Lord. And they'll see that you're faithful. You'll go through with them, through the battles, whatever they go through, you're there with them, and you're going to get them over to the other side. I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.